You've got some notes today, some blue notes, or blue piece of paper anyhow, and we're in the Beatitudes. So if you're visiting today and, pardon me, you haven't been part of what's been going on, we've been looking at the Beatitudes, as Vicky mentioned, and today this is in Matthew 5. If you haven't collected or didn't want or weren't here, it's probably a better way of saying it, the cover for developing spiritual character, there are some spares there and also some sheets to bring you up to date with where we've been, what we've been looking at. Next week will be our last week in the Beatitudes and yes, interesting. Today we're looking at both the peacemakers and blessed for righteousness. It wasn't all that long ago that a competition was held with the topic peace, and people were asked to draw, paint, do whatever, a description of peace. And so people did scenes with peace, all sorts of things with peace. But the winner of the competition was actually a picture of an incredible storm. And the storm was coming and gushing down in like an enormous waterfall. And just tucked in under the waterfall on a little ledge was a mother bird sitting. And that won the peace, that won the prize for peace. Interviewed on the radio not long ago was a woman who was asked her definition of peace as she'd come from a war-torn country. And she said, "My definition of peace is to walk down the street without gunfire." So, where would you put yourself? In the midst of a storm, are you a little bird there with the storm going over? Or are you a grateful person that we live in a country where we can walk down the street or walk around the streets without the horror of gunfire? Peace is so many different things to so many different people, isn't it? Now, why have we got conflict? Why isn't there peace? Why isn't everything just happily harmonised? Well, you know as well as I do, there's such a thing as intrigue, and there is underhanded stuff going on causing upset. Power causes disruption. Money. There's nothing quite like money to disturb the peace of a family, and in the next word that I've got down there, wills. If you've been involved in a family situation where there's a dispute over a will, there's nothing like a will to upset the peace of what was a lovely, harmonious family. And then all of a sudden, wow, on comes the upset over a will. Anger. People just get angry and that disturbs the peace or peace in people's life. My way. I want it my way. And that isn't always too happy. Wars, of course, on a big scale. And then things within families. You know, we've just not long ago had Christmas and people say, there's nothing like Christmas after a few drinks to bring out the feeling in families. So I don't know what it is that might disturb your peace or the peace in the situations that you're in. Maybe work, maybe other things that cause upset and conflict. World War One was to be the war, wasn't it, that would end all wars. United Nations would bring it all to a conclusion. Well, that hasn't happened, has it? I think we've got more. It's hard to find a country that isn't at war or could be at war. Yes, it's a very, very sad situation. And what I've got there is that these things contradict what we've looked at already with the pure in heart. What is the motive? Why is there intrigue? Well, because people aren't pure in heart. People aren't open with integrity. There's ulterior motives and there's sneakiness going on. Or there is actually wanting to get it my way and all sorts of upset. People are not sincere. I've got there that quote from a few weeks ago. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, and others will see God in them. The purity of heart. How amazing. An openness, an integrity. I mean, it's only this year, in January, out at, Sefton Plaza, just a little bit north of the city, that there was that horrific family upset where the Muslim girl wanted to marry the Christian boy. And that caused enormous upset and disruption in the family, of course, of the Muslim family. And five members of that family are now up on murder charges or attempted murder charges because of the honour killing that they felt was appropriate for that situation. So all sorts of things cause upset within families. Now, friends, we are called to be peacemakers. Peacemakers, not merely peace lovers. I think we all love peace. We like things to just go along smoothly. We're all happy to be peace lovers. Sometimes we're happy to be peacekeepers. Look, we'll just leave things as they are. We won't ruffle anyone's feathers. We won't do anything. But maybe we're asked to be a bit more than that. Maybe we're asked as peacemakers sometimes to be the ham in the sandwich. And that isn't always easy because we've got two conflicting parties or two groups that aren't getting on. We're in the middle. We're perhaps friends with both of them, or we can see both of those sides of the situation. And what do we do? How do we sort of bring this together? How do we become the peacemaker in the situation? As I've got there, we are asked to be peacemakers, not conflict or troublemakers. And in the section of scripture that Will read to us from Romans, there's a whole list of things there about be careful about this, don't do this, be careful about that. So it's not easy. You know, this list, as Vicky said, some of the characteristics of Jesus, the whole thing about being a Christian is not easy. We are asked to be followers of Jesus. That's not an easy life. And I don't think peacemaking is always easy, particularly when there's upset in the church. When there's upset in a church. One church we were at, we had two men. Well, we had a lot of men, but we had two men who were supposedly in a business deal with each other. One who bought the properties, the other who did the maintenance and the work on the properties. Came to a point where there was a big upset. The one who did the maintenance felt he wasn't getting his right share of the situation. Of course, nothing was written down. It was just between Christians. It was all wonderful. Right. They were each in separate home fellowship groups. So this one would relay something of his sad story to his group, and this one would relay something of his sad story to this group. So then I'd have someone ringing up from this group to say, you should put this person out of the church. Then I'd have someone ringing from this group saying, you should put this person out of the church. Wonderful, wonderful situation. Now, no matter what we did as elders, we had meetings with these men, we had meetings with their wives, we tried everything we could, and we just couldn't get around. We felt really underneath that we weren't getting the whole truth. So in the end, I just wrote a letter and sent it through the elders. We called a church meeting and I said, we have spent hours, so much time wasted on trying to resolve this conflict. We don't believe we've got to the truth, but ultimately you two will be accountable to God. It was a fairly serious meeting. You could have actually heard a pin drop, and everyone then just went. Friends, how do you resolve some of these things? It just becomes so difficult when two people who claim to be Christian following Jesus, yeah, and I know what's happening, Satan is going, hooray! Another victory, another division, another upset in the church, another waste of time, and the church isn't doing what it should. The church isn't telling people about Jesus, the church is fighting in itself. And there's a division, an upset amongst people, a misunderstanding, and the devil of deceit and division comes in. So friends, we do need to be careful. We need to be very careful in this situation, but at the same time, there's a sense in which we need to take notice of what I've got there. We are peacemakers, not conflict or troublemakers. So, what do? Well, we seek and we pursue peace. You will notice that these words here that have been used in Scripture are active words. For those who work in words, verbs, I guess. Seek peace. Make every effort. Live at peace. Eager to maintain the unity in a bond of peace. And then allow the peace of God to rule in your heart. These aren't just, well, let things go by under the carpet, too bad. These are words that say, seek, make every effort, live, be eager, and then let the peace of God rule in your heart. And where does it begin? Well, it begins because in Ephesians we are told Jesus is our peace. So it has to begin right there, which was, I think, our first beatitude. That we are spiritually bereft, nothing. And so we come to God. So when Jesus is our peace, that's our starting point, and off we go. Now, we are well aware that there were false prophets who said, peace, peace, to shut everyone up. But there was no peace. Peace, peace, but there was no peace. So we need to be careful about that too. I mean, it's not easy to be a peacemaker, but sometimes it's not appropriate to say, doesn't matter, everything's peaceful, everything's happy, when in fact it's not. How wonderful it was, how wonderful that Paul was saved or brought back into the fold by Barnabas. And I'd like to think that maybe there are people who can be brought back into the kingdom, into the fold of God, into the friendship of Jesus by some Barnabases or some Barnabai, whatever, yes, that we might be the people who bring others back, because there was an upset. We may have lost Paul. I mean, in the sovereign will of God, something else might have happened, but if it hadn't been for someone like Barnabas, yep, we may not have had Paul. So the question is, who do we need to move out to encourage back to God? Might be a good prayer this week. Who is there that once was walking with Jesus, but because of an upset, maybe with someone else in the church, they're not anymore? Maybe you could be the peacemaker in that situation and move out to that person. The rabbis, the Jewish teachers, said that actually reconciliation and bringing about reconciliation between two people was one of the greatest achievements that a person could have, to bring about reconciliation. And so, what have we got? Well, God has made peace with us through the cross, and he's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. It's amazing, isn't it? The reconciliation of people with God, but maybe the reconciliation of people with each other. And I know we avoid that. We don't like to confront difficulty or upset. And yet, it's wonderful that Jesus did. I mean, the upset and the separation that we had from God, Jesus didn't avoid that. Let's sort out this mess, he basically says, and I'll do it. And in some ways, there are times when we need to say, let's sort out the mess and I'll do it, or I'll be part of it. Remembering that we are peacemakers, we are not the cause of trouble. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, then will keep our hearts and minds in Jesus. That's where we need to keep our focus. But we do need to ask ourselves from time to time, am I a reconciler or am I a wrecker? Am I a reconciler or am I a wrecker? You be aware that there are some people, no matter where they are, there's trouble. And, it's very hard, isn't it? It's hard to work with those people. I have a little leaflet here because, as you know, we did some stuff and we've got connections up in Alice Springs of this man who died early 60s, Andrew Jappeljurry Spencer. And it was lovely at his funeral, in the eulogy, people said he was a man of peace. He was a man who brought peace, and he was a man who always worked towards peace between the Yapa and the Cardia. Now, the Yapa are the Aboriginal folk and the Cardia are us whites. So what a wonderful thing to be said about a person at their funeral. He was a man of peace, a man who brought peace, and a man who always worked towards peace. They also said he was a man with a big smile, a man with a very happy disposition, and a man who always had a Bible on his desk. Lovely testimony. Now, you're saying, oh, I hope he's not going to go on long with the next one. Well, no, I'm not. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Can I say these people are persecuted because they are righteous. They're not persecuted because they do stupid things. They're not persecuted because they have a silly theology. They're not persecuted for inappropriate behaviour or weird views. We see people in the mall, not so much now with what's going on, but hanging signs, walking along with signs. We know people who have got way out theology. But what we're hearing here is not for that. But they are persecuted because they lead righteous lives. they lead God-fearing lives, and not fear, but celebratory lives. And people are often embarrassed if you have an integrity and a purity of heart and all the rest. So we link verse 3 and verse 10, the poor in spirit and the persecuted, for both receive the kingdom of heaven. Friends, belief and persecution go together. If you read the New Testament, it seems to me that that's the only thing we're promised. That if you're a follower of Jesus, persecution will come in some way. You know, it's not really come to Jesus and everything will be wonderful. Sometimes it's come to Jesus and things will be very difficult. But we'll have Jesus. And that's far more important. So our eyes need to be on heaven. So in brief summary, what have we got here? Oh, there's the blessedness or the blessing of what? Of being poor in spirit, because we will be forgiven. Of mourning, because we will be comforted. Of a meekness, because we will become an inheritor of the kingdom. If we hunger and thirst, we will be satisfied. If we show mercy, we will obtain mercy. If we are pure in heart, we will see God. And if we are a peacemaker, we will be called one of God's children. And if we are persecuted for righteousness' sake, we have the kingdom of heaven. It's not a list of do and don't. It's as if God says to us, if you want the blessing of my presence, if you want the blessing of being a follower of me, these are the guidelines. Follow them and you will know blessing. Our focus is on Jesus and on heaven. May we be blessed. May we be blessed as peacemakers and those who seek righteousness. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we bow our heads in your presence, thanking you that Jesus is our model, our example, the one whom we follow. We don't base our lives on what we see around us, but we base our lives on the one who is our Lord and our God. And so we come this morning and we acknowledge that maybe some of those beatitudes have not been things that we've put into practice. Sometimes we've been happy to harbour a resentful attitude. Sometimes we've wanted things our way. Sometimes we've not been prepared to be the meat in the sandwich between warring friends and to try and bring some peace or reconciliation. Rather, we've avoided. So, Father, this week, just remind us of the blessing that comes from allowing the Beatitudes to be part of our life. Father, may we reflect Jesus, for we are followers of his. We are disciples, and we remember right at the first week that there were crowds, but Jesus went up onto the mountain and took a group of disciples and taught them. We are your disciples, and you have been teaching us. So just like the sounds with the children, we ask that what we have heard, we will respond to. For we pray through Jesus. Amen.